We live in difficult times. Life is not easy. People everywhere are trying to find answers. The philosophy of this world today is forget your troubles. Turn your back on them. Do not face them. Go to a party. Drink some booze. Try some dope. Cheat on your spouse. Have a good time. Be as happy as you can. And many poor fools believe this and they try to follow that philosophy. But it does not work. They get more unhappy than before. They try everything possible to find happiness and they never find it. Why can't they find it? Because they are looking at the wrong place. That philosophy of the world is the opposite of God's philosophy found in His Word. No wonder people never find happiness. This morning in our text, we are going to continue our study about the secret of happiness. We will learn that happiness does not come from partying or from some cheap thrills. Happiness comes from the very opposite. Today we are going to see the second thing that leads to happiness. Please turn with me to our text, Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, as we continue where we stop. Jesus is speaking there, and he is saying in verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." If you remember, the first step to happiness was to be poor in spirit. Verse 3. Not be some showy, spiritual know-it-all, but humble servants of the Lord. We saw that people will delight to be around us if we are like that. In our text this morning, Jesus has one more thing that leads to happiness. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Or, oh, how happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. At first, it seems like a contradiction. It looks like a contradictory statement. It does not make sense. If they really are happy, then why do they mourn? And if they mourn, how can they be happy? Quite an oxymoron. Mourning is an expression of sorrow. The Greek words used here means intense mourning, serious mourning. The same word is used by James in chapter 4, verse 9. For those who will not draw near God and those who will not purify their hearts, they will seriously mourn. In the Old Testament, mourning was expressed several ways. By weeping, loud lamentations. They would even ripping off their clothes. Wearing sackcloth, spreading dust or ashes on their heads or on themselves, shaving their heads, not washing, removing all jewelry and ornament, fasting, sitting in silence, many ways to mourn. To the worldly man, mourning is something to stay as far away from as possible. The cool man does not mourn. To the worldly man, mourning is not a desirable thing. Just like the world does not admire the poor in spirit, it certainly does not admire those who mourn. It considers it a weakness. The world today admires those who push their way to the top, those who are obnoxious, those who climb over everybody and everything in order to get to the top. But not all mourners are blessed. Not all mourners are happy. People mourn for many different reasons. Some mourn because of sickness, pain, bereavement, material loss, wounded pride. These are not producing happiness. There is no blessing in such mourning. Mourning because you lost your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Mourning because the stock market went down 560 points. Mourning because an idiot backed into your new car. Mourning because you got laid off from work. Mourning because you gained 30 pounds. Mourning because your mother-in-law passed away. You should mourn for those things, even your mother-in-law. It is natural to mourn for those things. But there is no blessing attached to these. The mourners whom Jesus claims are blessed are those who are, first of all, poor in spirit. Verse 3. Those who recognize their needs and present them to the one who is able to help. Each beatitude that we will see builds on the previous one. So you cannot just take one out of context and quote it to someone. They are building one on the other. They spring out of each other. Why mourn? Verse 4. Because they are poor in spirit. Verse 3. Mourning is an emotion that follows poverty of spirit. The person who is not poor in spirit is not likely to mourn. Some of you might be confused, but we saw last week that the secret of happiness is not what we have, it is not what we do, but it is what we are. Be attitudes, not do attitudes. The be attitudes produce happiness. Mourning here is not an action. It is not something that we do. It is an attitude. How we are mourning. The poor in spirit who realizes his own unworthiness and his spiritual bankruptcy mourns because he is sorry for his sin. He is sorry for his unworthiness. It takes compassion to be able to mourn. The beatitude describe the attitudes that we should be. Attitude that should be in our life. In those beatitudes, we see five different attitudes. The first one is our attitude towards ourselves. We always start with ourselves. That's verse 3. Poor in spirit. Not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Then attitude number 2 is our attitude towards sin. That's verse 4. Mourning over them. This is an attitude, not an action, being mournful. Then attitude number 3 is the attitude towards God. That's verses 5 and 6. Being meek, hungry and thirsty for righteousness. The attitude of wanting more of God. Being hopeful for more of God. And then attitude number 4 is our attitude towards others. Verses 7, 8, and 9. Merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. And then finally, attitude number 5 is our attitude towards the world. Verses 10 to 12. Persecuted for righteousness, not loving this world, and not being loved by this world. Now notice the tense. It does not say, blessed are those who have mourned, past tense. Nor does it say, blessed are those who will mourn, future tense. But mourn now, present tense. Jesus is not referring to our initial experience of conviction and contrition when we mourn on the day that we called on the name of the Lord and we were born again. That's past tense. We mourn that day. We realize we needed a Savior. We realize we were sinful. We were lacking. We needed help. We needed God. We mourn that day. But that is an attitude that we should continue to be. As Christian, we have so much to mourn for. The sins that we commit every day, the depravity of our nature, the corruption within us, unbelief, pride, selfishness, the coldness of our love, and so more. So much to mourn for. Many acknowledge that they are sinners, but they have never mourned for the fact that they are sinners. Remember the lady in Luke chapter 7 who washed the Savior's feet with her tears. Many Christians have never shed one single tear over any of their sins, any of the thing evil that they have done. There are three kinds of mourning. Three types of sorrow. The first one is a natural mourning, a natural sorrow. And this kind comes to everybody, believers or unbelievers, rich or poor, young or old. It is a natural part of life, mourning over financial problems, over the loss of a loved one, mourning because of suffering. God made us able to weep. Did you know that the ability to cry is really a gift from God? The pain and the anxiety that we hold inside can poison our entire emotional system if it is not released in tears. It is very natural to mourn. It is good for your health. Real men cry. Abraham, the great man of faith, wept when his wife died. Jeremiah wept when he saw his nation going into captivity. Job mourned when he lost his 10 children. Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. Why did Jesus weep? Because he saw the ugliness of sin and what it can do. It leads to death. Sin upsets life. It makes people unhappy. Sin promises happiness, but it is a lie from the pit of hell. It brings nothing but unhappiness. Jesus wept because of that. He mourned over the city of Jerusalem for rejecting their Savior and bring their own damnation. Natural mourning is not sinful. There is healing in natural sorrow. The second type of mourning is a sinful mourning, an unnatural sorrow. It is unnatural because the result of it in our lives are opposite to what God wants us to experience. Godly sorrow heals. It leads to repentance. Unnatural sorrow makes the wounds deeper, and it fills the heart with pain. Natural sorrow enables us to remember a lost loved one and use those memories constructively. But unnatural sorrow turns those memories into punishment that destroyed the peace that God wants us to have. Sinful mourning refuses to be comforted. Jacob refused to be comforted in Genesis 37 when he heard that his son Joseph was dead. David refused to be comforted in 2 Samuel 19 when his son Absalom was killed. And Joab rebuked him for this sinful mourning. And I have met people who refuse to be comforted. You try all you want. And this is an unnatural sorrow. Unnatural sorrow has many different causes. It could be selfishness. A self-centered person uses other people to make his life pleasant. When that person is gone, he cannot be comforted. So he experiences unnatural sorrow. Number two is fear. Fear of the future. Fear of changes. Fear of death. Fear is another cause of unnatural sorrow. Mourning because you are afraid will not produce happiness in your life. Number three, guilt. The greatest cause of unnatural sorrow. Feeling guilty for the death of someone, especially if it was a suicide. I should have done more. I should have been there. I should have. That was the cause for David to mourn when his rebellious son Absalom was killed. Guilt. His mourning was unnatural, produces no blessing, no happiness. Then you have the third type of mourning, which is a spiritual mourning, a supernatural sorrow. Just like the poor in spirit is not poor in money, but spiritual bankruptcy, so spiritual mourning is mourning for sin rather than mourning for suffering. This is the type that produces happiness. A supernatural sorrow, like repentance of sin, the supernatural work of God in our life. When a person sees his poverty of spirit, he responds in one of four ways. Number one, he denies it and puts up a front. That will lead to deception. He's a phony person. Or he admits it and tries to change things himself. This is a case of the poor healing the poor or the blind leading the blind. That response will lead to discouragement. Or he can despair so much over it that he gives up completely. Mourning too much and too long leads to defeat, to despair, to disaster. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 2:7, that a person can be swallowed up by too much grief. The home of Paul Lawrence Dunbar, the African-American poet of the late 19th and early 20th century, is open to the public in Dayton, Ohio. He published his first poem at the age of 16. When Dunbar died, his mother left his room exactly as it was on the day of his death. At the desk of this brilliant man was his final poem, handwritten on a pad. After his mother died, her friends discovered that Paul Lawrence Dunbar's last poem had been lost forever. Because his mother had made his room into a shrine and not move anything, the sun had bleached the ink in which the poem was written until it became invisible. The poem was gone forever. If we stay in mourning too long, we lose so much of life. Or number four, he admits it, turns to God for what he needs, and experiences the comfort of God, the God of all comfort. A ship was wrecked, and the only one survivor was washed up on a small, uninhabited island. He was exhausted. He cried out to God to save him. Every day he scanned the horizon. He was searching for help. Finally, he gave up. He managed to build a little rough hut, and he put the few things that he had in it. One day, as he came home from hunting for food, he was hurt with grief, seeing his little hut in flame and a big cloud of smoke. The worst had happened to him. But early the next day, a ship drew in and rescued him. And he asked the crew, "How did you know I was here?" And they said, "We saw your fire. We saw your smoke signal." God's comfort is on the way, because your mourning is a smoke signal to God. God cares for you, and you will find his presence and his blessing in very unusual situations. How do you respond to your poverty of spirit? Do you deny it or put up a front? Do you try to change things yourself? Do you despair over it and then give up? Or do you turn to God for help and comfort? Paul mourned in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, when he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" That is being poor in spirit. He knew what he was. Then in the very next verse, we see the answer. Thank God it is through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is spiritual mourning. Paul was a happy man even though he was mourning. The closer a Christian lives to God, the more he will mourn over his sin, over anything that dishonors God. Now, must be careful here. It is not a mourning that continually murmurs and whines as it mourns. It is not a sorrow that springs from affliction, adversity, disappointment, or destitution. It is not a mourning in fear of the consequences of sin. "Oh, I'm going to pay the price for that. Oh, man." Not that type of mourning. It is a spiritual mourning, a sorrow over our sin, our weaknesses, and our failures. Also, a mourning for the affliction and distresses of others. Romans 12:15 says, "Weep with those who weep. Have compassion for them." That's the right kind of mourning. This kind of mourning springs from a sense of sin, a tender conscience, a broken heart. They mourn because they love God with all their heart and love their neighbors as themselves. Author Edgar Jackson describes grief this way, and I quote him. He said, "Grief is a young widow trying to raise her three children alone. Grief is the man so traumatized and confused that he strikes out at the closest person. Grief is a mother walking daily to a nearby cemetery to stand quietly and alone a few minutes before going about the task of the day. She knows that part of her is in that cemetery. Grief is the silent, knife-like terror and sadness that comes 100 times a day when you start to speak to someone who is no longer there. Grief is the emptiness that comes when you eat alone after eating with someone for so many years. Grief is teaching yourself to go to bed without saying goodnight to the one who died. Grief is the helpless wishing that things were different when you know that they are not and they never will be again. That is grief. Sorrow can do two things for us. It can show us the kindness of our fellow men. When we are mourning, we see who is there and how they are. We can see, we discover the goodness, the kindness in other people. And it can show us the comfort and the compassion of God. Many in the hour of sorrow discover their fellow men and their God as they never did before. When things go well, when we live on the surface of things, that's everything is fine. But when sorrow comes and we are driven to the deeper things of life and a new strength then enters our soul, it's different. Life is different. The Arabs have a proverb, all sunshine creates a desert. The land on which the sun always shines will sooner or later become a parched, barren place where no fruit will grow. There are certain things that only the rain can produce, and certain experiences that only sorrow can create. There is a poem, I don't know who wrote it, but it says, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. Why are those who mourn blessed? Why are they happy? They are not blessed because they are mourning, but because they are comforted by God. They are being cleansed from their sins, being cleansed from their unrighteousness. They feel the comforting touch of God. Happiness is not in mourning, but it in getting the comfort. Psalm 32:12 says, happy is the man whose sins are forgiven. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:10 that godly sorrow produces repentance, not remorse. There's a big difference between remorse and repentance. Remorse is a rethinking. It is an afterthought. It is a feeling. It is a regret. It is a guilt. It is a self-rebuke. You should not have done that, dummy. Repentance is a change of conduct, a reformation. It is an action. It is not a feeling. It is not a thought. There are four steps to repentance: conviction, contrition, confession, conversion. The first one is in the mind. The second one is in the heart. The third one is in the mouth. And the fourth one is in the behavior. Sorrow is not repentance. It often accompanies repentance, but we can have sorrow without repentance. We can be sorry without changing anything, but we cannot have repentance without sorrow. The Bible says that godly sorrow leads to repentance. We must be able to discern between repentance and remorse, between remorse and regret. When my consciousness of sin is only in my mind, that is regret. I regret it. When it affects my mind and my heart, that is remorse. When it affects my will as well as my mind and my heart, and I am willing to turn from those sins and obey God, that is repentance. It means being sorry enough to quit, to change. Repentance involves not only a change of feelings, a change of thinking, but also a change of action, a change of behavior. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? His mind, his heart, and his will were all involved in his repentance. His mind told him that his father's servants were better off than he was. His heart made him sick of his situation, thinking, I am perishing with hunger. What am I doing here? But his will motivated him to get up and go to his father and say, I have sinned against you. and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. When you went back home, that was repentance. And it included conviction, contrition, confession, and conversion. A bunch of cons. And he sat there in the pig pen, thinking how foolish he had been. That would have been regret. And he thought about his sin and hated himself for committing them. That would have been remorse. But when he arose and went to talk to his dad, that was repentance. What is the promise to the mourners? Pretty simple, pretty clear. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. How shall they be comforted? Three ways. There shall be, number one, an initial comfort. The removal of any guilt that is such a heavy burden on the conscience. Giving them the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The comfort of forgiveness. What a comfort to know that I am forgiven. Completely forgiven. That's the initial comfort. There shall be a continual comfort by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. They shall have hope in the return of Jesus Christ. They will live in that exciting expectancy to see the Lord. They shall have a close fellowship with the Lord. The comfort of communion with God. The comfort of forgiveness. The comfort of communion with God. And number three, there shall be a final comfort when they shall leave this world and shall finally be done with sin forever. In Luke 16:25, Abraham said to the rich man concerning Lazarus, now he is comforted. Now we have the comfort of eternity, the comfort of forgiveness, the comfort of communion with God, the comfort of eternity. In John 16:22, Jesus said, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take away from you. Like at the wedding in Cana, where the best wine was reserved for last, so the best is yet to come. The comfort of heaven will more than compensate for all the mourning of earth. How can we recognize the person who has mourned? Can we? Yes, we can. We can recognize the mourner by the love that he has. If he loves much, then he realizes that he was forgiven much and he mourns much. If he loves a little, then he only realizes that he was only forgiven a little. And he mourns a little. Just like the lady in Luke chapter 7. So yes, those who mourn for their sins are happy. Those with that attitude know that the days of their mourning will soon end. God will wipe all tears from their eyes. They know they will truly be comforted. And that brings a lot of happiness. They are happy knowing that. The natural mourning of men and women in prison is not blessed. They are sorry. Sorry that they got caught. They are not happy. There is no blessing, no happiness in sorrow. After being poor in spirit, mourning is the second step to happiness. Are you mourning today? Give to God whatever mourning you have today and believe the promise that you shall be comforted. Comfort is on its way. This is how to be happy. Everybody is looking for happiness. Everybody desires to be happy. But they look at the wrong place and they try the wrong things. The prodigal son wanted to be happy. And he came to his own man and he said, give me the money that comes to me. Give me my inheritance now. He wanted to be happy. Money. He was sure that having the money, he'd be happy. Soon he discovered that money did not bring him happiness. But what brought him happiness was when he came to his senses and he realized what he had done and he mourned for his sins, for his foolishness, for walking away from the old man, from abandoning the house, turning his back to his family. And he mourned. That's what led him to happiness. And he was a happy man at home with his dad. He had learned a lesson. So may we learn the lesson that money is not the answer. Fame, security, whatever. But mourning, realizing that we were born with a sinful nature. We inherited it from Adam and Eve. And it is lacking. It is a nature that is missing a piece. And everybody is looking for that piece of the puzzle. But they try all kinds of different pieces. They don't fit. Only one will fit. And that's being right with God. And until you mourn for what you have done, mourn for your sin, you will not find happiness. You will try all sort of things. It will never fit. It will never be there. But God desires for you to be happy. He wants you to be happy. And he has the right piece of the puzzle that you are missing. And that is being poor in spirit and realizing who you are. You're a sinful person like all of us. And realizing that you need to mourn and get right with God. So the answer is here. God wants you to be happy. And it is a possible thing. This is not an impossibility. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May he bless your life. Bless your home. May he bring happiness your way, and may you mourn for your sin and find happiness walking with the Lord all the days of your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.